You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Michael Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer of United Way of Southeast Louisiana. And every year they issue a report called the ALICE Report, which is an acronym for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed Report. It is a report that is different than the federally identified poverty level report, and hopefully Michael will be able to explain those differences for us. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Neil, thanks for having me on, as always.
Michael, if we could start off the differences, because I think sometimes people get confused.
Yeah, so certainly. So we often talk about folks that live in poverty, which is roughly about 19% throughout the state of Louisiana. What we often don't talk about is the folks that live slightly above the poverty level but don't earn enough to meet what we consider a basic survival budget. We call those ALICE households. And as you mentioned, that acronym stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And so we have a study and report that really speaks to the challenges they face.
So I guess people would recognize this when the talking heads refer to it as the working poor. Right? Those that are working that are right above that threshold, as to how do they meet their expenses day in and day out?
Absolutely. These are folks that I say all the time, they're doing the right things. They've got a job or two or three, and they're trying to earn a living and try to take care of their families, but they don't earn enough, and their wages consistently don't keep pace with inflation, and especially now, which has been extremely high. But they're doing the right things. They're not relying on just assistance from outside sources, government, others. They're like showing up at a job. And so we've used this report to advocate for them and talk about things we could do to help them get on a pathway to financial stability and ultimately economic prosperity.
Michael, if 19% of the Louisiana population lives below the federally identified poverty level, what is the number of those that are ALICE?
It's roughly about 30%, Newell. So in total, you're looking at almost 50% between poverty and ALICE households, which means one in two households. But that 30% represents, once again, individuals, households that are showing up every day, they're going to work. Like I said, they might be working two jobs to piece together an income. They may be operating in the gig economy and operating kind of multiple gigs. But the net result of their income leaves them a little bit short of reaching what we consider the basic survival budget, which speaks to housing, utilities, transportation, childcare, access to the internet, which is an absolute necessity these days.
We often talk about Louisiana being a poor state. It came up in my conversation. I've been interviewing all of the gubernatorial candidates with John Schroeder today and how much of a challenge that is. But when you hear this 49% number, where do we rank nationally? Probably either 50 or 49, right?
Well, when it comes to the ALICE report, we're second in the nation as far as having number of ALICE households, only surpassed by Mississippi. And so, we talk about oftentimes, we want to be on the top of the good list, not the bad list. And this report should inform our approaches and how we get there, which ultimately about how do you grow wages? How do you equip families with the skills they need to manage their incomes in a way that allows them to grow, to develop assets and grow their wealth.
Now, this report covers what years?
So this is for
2021.
As you can imagine, there's a lag because you have to have the data to pull. Yeah, but we know the data doesn't change a lot in the course of a year. But it is a 2021 data.
But Michael, the point I was going to make is it might. I mean, because as I was reading through the report, and I didn't know if it was a 1 or a 2 year report. That's why I asked the question, which was poorly worded, by the way. But anyway, the reason I ask is that as I sat there reading through the report, it occurred to me with inflation, with the challenges that we're having with auto insurance, health insurance, homeowners insurance, I got to imagine if we took this snapshot today, it's even worse.
You make a good point. Matter of fact, there are oftentimes addendum reports that are done which speak to Alice in the crosshairs. And the reality is when those issues are on the horizon, Alice is in the crosshairs, often, you know, the first to be affected and dramatically affected. And we see that in real time when families are making tough choices because, you know, because insurance rates are going up or just the cost of goods going up. And some of the things, some of the warning signs we see on the horizon, Newell, are food insufficiency. Obviously, people continue to struggle to pay bills, but also the corresponding mental health challenges that come along with that, because having issues financially doesn't really translate well into positive mental health outcomes.
So let's talk numbers, if you don't mind. I think you probably know the federally identified poverty numbers off the top of your head and compare those to the ALICE numbers.
So absolutely. So let's talk about, we'll pull some information up for you real quick here, but let's talk about the household income. Let's go with a survival budget for, you know, an individual household that we would consider to be ALICE. And those ALICE households, an individual needs to make a little bit more than $15 per hour to meet their basic survival budget needs. However, an individual lives in poverty is earning obviously far less than that. And so we look at it from the standpoint of what is the survival budget for an individual. Then we certainly look at, you know, a family, two caring adults, and two children, and that translates into about $30 per household that they would need to earn to be able to meet their basic needs. And so, and that's how you delineate between that 19% that struggle, you know, every day in poverty versus the folks that are slightly above, don't qualify for various forms of government assistance, and are left to their own device, and are, you know, in a real struggle. And that's about that 30% of the households.
So, and I know you guys work on this. I mean, Tantron has a great podcast out there right now on minimum wage and the minimum wage in this state. And we've kind of taken a hands-off approach of setting a minimum wage at $7.50 an hour. At that $7.50, you're definitely in the FPL, right? The federal poverty level.
Absolutely. So 2021 data tells us that the federal poverty level for an individual was $12,880 for a single adult. And then for a family of four, it's $26,500 in order to qualify and be considered, in federal terms, you know, living in poverty. And so, as you can imagine, now those families have to pursue receiving public benefits, et cetera, to try to piecemeal together the things they need to meet their basic needs. But you look at it on its face value, you know, that's a significantly low wages. And then if we look at the folks that live, you know, above slightly or even kind of middle of the road house, you know, households, they're still not earning enough to meet those basic needs. And what we've determined is, and you talk about minimum wage, Noel, we pivot to think about it from a livable wage standpoint. And what we find is bare bones minimum amount that somebody would need to earn to be able to live and survive. And we can look at Orleans Parish in particular if we want, is about $15.33 an hour, or if it's two adults working, $37.08 per hour. So significantly greater than what the federal poverty level is. So basically double, if you will.
And one of the reasons is because we're affordable housing challenged, right? I mean, we're landlocked, so we don't gain the benefit of the series of concentric circles of building out. And it really highlights the importance of public transportation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I tell you, one thing you'll see in the report, because I know you've looked at it, but one might look at, what we have as a survival budget around housing, rent for a family of four. The report is focused on fair market value, so fair market rent values, which in the report for a family of four, based on HUD data, is $880. Now, those of us that live in the area wonder, where do you find a place to hold a family of four that you can get for $880? It doesn't speak to the availability. I mean, it certainly can underscore the demand. But the reality is we have an affordable housing crisis. We have an enormous amount of households that are struggling to meet their basic needs, housing being a significant expense, and they don't have anywhere to go. And to your point, if they can move outside of the city and have the option to come into the city and work, and maybe they're working in one of our service industries, hospitality, then you have to have transportation, but they can't afford a car. And if you don't have the public transportation systems that reach that far, it makes it even more challenging. And they get left with making really, really tough decisions about what job I can take, who's going to care for my children. If I can't afford childcare, I can't get publicly funded childcare. And so it's a big challenge. Once again, that's 30%. I mean, 30% of our households are in total with poverty. It's 50%. It's something we should all care about.
Michael, how important is public policy, govern the manner in which government reacts to market conditions? I mean, we've been wedded to the tourism industry a long time. That's good and it's bad. And it's worked well for us in many respects, but not so good in other respects. And as we attempt to diversify our economy, it seems to me, and again, you get these little light bulbs that go off as you read through this report. It occurs that we need to be fighting hard, like GNO Inc. does and others out there, just scratching and scraping, trying to get as many jobs as we can to this area, because, that's the only, right now, really, one of the predominant difference makers.
Yeah, absolutely, Noel. And hats off to, we're a regional organization, so we work with a lot of these partners. But hats off to GNO Inc., St. Tammany Corp., the local economic development foundations are all doing their part to try to diversify the economy by bringing jobs to town. I think also, too, we want to do away with the myth that we're just talking about, somebody works in a restaurant or a hotel. These are also personal care aides. These are individuals that work in the personal care industry that are taking care of, our elderly and sometimes our children. And, their wages are significantly, on average, a personal care aide worker makes $8.75 per hour. So this is a diverse range of folks that fill up this kind of Alice category. But yes, we have to diversify the economy. And I also think that by informing employers about what a livable wage is, we feel confident with the right help and guidance, they're willing to work on ways to improve wages for their employees, especially coming out of the pandemic where we saw the importance of essential workers. And to your point, Noel, that kind of where you started the question, that happens through public policy and advocacy. Like, we will never fundraise our way and nonprofit our way out of challenges that face households. Those require significant public policy changes. But we also know that with those changes, we lift Alice households out of their places of financial instability. It has a massive positive impact on the economy. And I think our numbers previously had a little better. If we brought all households to a survival budget wage, that would improve our state GDP over $53 billion annually. So there's an economic upside to taking really smart approaches from a public policy standpoint.
What do you think is the biggest impediment
along those lines? Yeah, it's a great question, Noel. And because we consider ourselves neutral, we're advocating for 50% of our population that struggle to meet their basic needs.
Let me back up one second and approach it this way. To be fair to you,
okay.
I think government inefficiency drives me absolutely crazy, and if I may be so bold as to suggest, I think it probably has you wanting to jump off a cliff sometimes, because when you look at those dollars and you think about how you could leverage that in doing what needs to be done, that coupled with the public policy, this doesn't get that hard.
Yeah, we're kind of speaking to the yin and the yang of the public sector and the private sector, the role government can play. And we do some really cool partnership work with, you know, local governments and state government, where we're offering scalable and impactful solutions. And so I think back to the genesis of the question, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Both yes, have a role to play.
Absolutely.
We also think that the individuals, you know, let's not forget that the individuals, those that are allies, have a role to play in this as well. Like seeking out, you know, the training and the job training opportunities to develop the skills so they're marketable in some of these higher wage jobs that our economic development friends are going out and pursuing. And so it's a matter of us all playing our right roles. I will say that I can speak for ourselves and a lot of my nonprofit colleagues, we tend to be very, very efficient, very, very effective. We design programs, we're very nimble, and we can move extremely fast, where sometimes government can. But there's a role for all of us to play, but I don't want us to forget two things. One is Alice households play a role in this. They have to do their part. But also, their constituents, Noel, they vote. These are individuals that have the power. Yeah, the greatest power you could ever have on this planet is the power to vote and influence democracy. And we're trying to make sure Alice households know you need to use that and use that to influence, you know, both the making of policy, but the people who make the policy.
I remind people of that every day, and that's to every group, every socioeconomic group out there. You want to impact what's going on in your life, walk into the voting booth. It's the best chance, the best opportunity that you have on any given day.
And we know, Noel, it can be intimidating, but at the same time, we oftentimes as organizations offer education and training and skill building. So how do you become a good advocate? How do you know how to research legislation and understand what's going to affect me? You think about the insurance crisis we're under. Like, a lot of people just don't even know where to start. Like, how do you even begin, like, as an individual to tackle that? We try to make sure they have the knowledge and information they need to make informed decisions.
Hell, with all the education I have, Michael, I don't know where to start. I'm quite honest with you. And I'm sure you probably feel the same way, you know, and just providing
it's
insurance for your folks at United Way. It's crazy sometimes.
Yes,
thank
sir,
you so much. We're going to have you back on. We'll talk more about this, but I wanted to get you on with the release of the Alice Report. I love what y'all do, and thank you so much for the service that y'all provide to the community.
Well, thanks, Noel. Thank you for your support as always.
All right. It's Michael Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer, United Way of Southeast Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks, with Alexandra McGilligan from the Greek Fest. We'll talk about what they have coming your way this weekend. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you're looking for something to do on Memorial Day weekend, I say you head out to Bayou St. John for the 2023 New Orleans Greek Festival, and be prepared to gain a lot of weight. Alexandra McGilligan joins us from the Greek Fest. Alexandra, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having us.
And what's the average weight gain for people that attend the Greek Festival?
Oh, no, we don't like to mention that. So you're going to do a lot of walking around the grounds while you're enjoying yourself, so it kind of cancels each other out.
Oh, now tell the truth. With all those pastries out there, it is a killer.
It is, but it's enjoyed. So you just take a little bit of good with a lot of good with a little bad.
That is absolutely correct. One of my favorite festivals. Tell us about what's going on special this year.
Oh, awesome. We have, as usual, we have great food and music and wine. We have imported Greek beer and wine. We also have wonderful, the staples, souvlaki and gyro and lamb. This year we're featuring a rack of lamb and a leg of lamb dinner plate. And the dinner plate comes with some orzo pasta stewed with tomatoes and onions and a piece of pita bread. And you get half a pound of leg of lamb sliced in au jus. We have a grab-and-go booth that has food that you can enjoy on the grounds, prepackaged for you to take home and heat and eat. We also have a meze booth that has a wonderful smoked eggplant salad or dip. We call it a salad, but it's a dip that you can enjoy with pita bread. Zucchini pie and a cheese pie, which we call tiropita and koulikisopita, and lots of pastries, wonderful pastries, and a lot more.
You guys also, I think y'all still do the cathedral tours?
Yes, we do. We do the cathedral tours, and you're able to come in and view our cathedral and listen to our Father George, our priest from the community, give you a little bit of information about our faith. And you also have our choir director who can inform you about Byzantine chant and all that goes along with our chanting and that is intertwined within our faith.
Now, the festival is 3 days, the 26th, 27th, 28th. What are the times?
Friday, it's from 5 until 11. Saturday, 11 to 11. And Sunday, 11 to 8.
And the admission is?
It's $10 at the gate.
That's a bargain.
There's a lot to do. We have several booths and several items. We have also imported items as well that people can buy.
So is there an OPA contest or something as to how you say that?
No OPA contest, but plenty of Greeks around that you can just celebrate and say OPA while you're enjoying a little shot of ouzo or a glass of wine and doing a little bit of dancing.
Yeah, y'all ought to have an OPA contest like the Stella contest, right?
Right, we should. We may incorporate that next year. You just gave us an idea.
I would participate after I have enough ouzo, of course.
Right, that's what I said. A couple shots of ouzo, and then we're off to the races.
Look, one shot of ouzo is enough for me. it's a knee buckler for sure.
It is.
I think back with a group of friends that we have. We go to the Greek Fest every year, and we had some of the funnest moments that we've ever had together as friends. And just laugh and giggle and I can't remember Mr. Teddy's last name. Used to work with me at the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office to save my soul.
Mr. Savellis.
Thank you so much. I love that man, and he was such a believer in the Greek Fest, and he was the one that introduced it to me, and had me as his guest for a number of years, and just totally enjoyed it.
He was one of the founders, like people that have kind of nurtured it, started it small, and others that took over and kind of made it what it is today. So if it wasn't for him and lots of the cornerstone people of our community, including my parents and several other people, you know, they're the ones that introduced it and made, you know, with the groundwork for what it is today.
What? How many years now?
48.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it.
48 years of lots of good memories, not just from the parishioners here who work hard to put it on and the times that we enjoy while we're here, but also the New Orleans community. Just like you had mentioned a few minutes ago, you have fond memories, and that's something that we love to hear. It's a major takeaway when people are fond of something that we do, because we do it from our heart, and all of the hard work that we put into it is for others to enjoy. And that's something that Greek people have. That's a word that we call philoxenia. And that is, we're hospitable, and we love to host people. We love to let them have a good time.
Absolutely. And it looks like Mother Nature is going to cooperate this weekend. I hate to
let me
knock on some wood.
Yes.
Because I'll jinx it, I promise
hard.
You. But it's supposed to be very moderate, the temperature, which is great. I mean, it looks like it could be an awesome weekend for you guys.
Yes, we're very lucky, very fortunate that we will have good weather.
So once again, admission $10, Friday 5 to 11, Saturday 11 to 11, and Sunday from 11 to 8, right out there on Bayou St. John. Get out to the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Cathedral, hosting their 48th annual Greek Festival. Alexandra, best of luck to y'all. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Opa. Alexandra McGilligan, Greek Festival Executive Committee member. I'll participate in the contest next year. Actually, have me out as a judge. We'll do that.
We'll do.
All righty.
Thanks
so much. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back. We'll go to the talk lines. Boudreaux, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well, sir.
I am calling because your interviews with the governor candidates has been great. They all highlight the number one concern of citizens is crime. Schroeder did that today, and I agree with all that. He thinks you need to get a creative to really solve or mitigate some of this problem, which I think there's some merit there. And I have an idea for that I'd like to share with you, but before I
sure.
do, what about just going back to just good old-fashioned policing and have the DAs prosecute crime? Don't need creativity there. Just get back to the basics. You know, when you have somebody doing crime, you have to arrest them. I keep having this vision of, in New York, you may recall, when people were throwing bottles of water at policemen that were impotently walking away doing nothing. We had that on North Rampart several months ago, I think it was, maybe a little bit longer, where people were jumping on top of the police cars.
Yeah.
Back in the day, your day and my day, if I got on the wrong side of a barricade at a Mardi Gras parade, I had about six cops coming up, backing me up. What happened to those days? Just get back to good old-fashioned policing. You break the law, you get the policemen all over you, not condoning this, well, they're not condoning it, but not walking away, not being aggressive on going after crime, and having the DAs, and I know that's more of a political discussion with the progressive DAs, but just good old-fashioned policing and law enforcement. Then, if I may, on my creative idea, you know, the demographics that cause the majority of the crime in the inner cities, and there's a lot of them across the country, we're one of them, the demographic is young, inner-city black males. Without mentioning that, that's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to mention, but that's where the demographic is, so therefore that's what we need to attack. It's not an indictment on a race in any way, shape, or form. It is a statement of fact. So we need to do something with that demographic, and to a creative idea, perhaps, is, you know, we have people coming in for Essence Fest, and everybody goes to the concerts, and it's a big deal. why not have across the country in all these inner cities that have these issues, have workshops, not a one and done once a year, because I know we probably do that, but have a full court press with these workshops that get these problematic demographics in there, the young inner city black male, and have successful black men and women come in and verbally beat them on top of the head and say, guys, there's a great life out here. If you can just get through the stupid years and eliminate the stupidity, you can go out and you can have successful careers where you're making a couple $100,000, you're buying nice cars, you have a nice job, you have the respect of the world, et cetera, et cetera. A full court press in New Orleans, for example, just have these things once a month with the LeBron James's of the world. Pick any black successful person you have and bring them in, and it's a workshop where these guys are hearing this stuff. And there's generational poverty. There's also generational stupidity. A lot of these young people have stupid people that they're listening to. Perhaps their parents were part of the problem. So we need to override that and give them somebody else to listen to on a regular basis. That's my creative idea of the day.
Well, first let me say I'm glad to end the week with hearing folks talking about just getting back to good old-fashioned police work, right, about law and order, about fighting back this culture of noncompliance and trying to make excuses for everyone. I find it disheartening, distasteful, and I just simply do not understand how people think that we got to an advanced society in a short period of time that we did without having the rule of law and not having order. It's just beyond me. And it's almost as though, you know, it ain't fixed. It ain't broke. You don't have to fix it. You know, I mean, it's just a mindset. This is what we're going to do. But to give you an example of how this breaks down, the Congress wanted to put fentanyl in Schedule 1, which is the most restrictive of the schedules on a drug rating system by the FDA. 132 Dems voted against the bill. And most of them voted against it because they said this would have a disproportionate impact on minorities. Now, why we're jumping to race when fentanyl, by everyone agrees, the most lethal drug in my lifetime that's out there on the streets of our cities, we're not even pushing an entire syringe and we're dead. And we're finding kids with the syringe still in their arm. And we still are worried about who it's going to disproportionately impact. It disproportionately impacts everybody who's dead. What are we doing? But we immediately jumped to race. So 132 Dems vote against it because they said this is just a repeat of the war of drugs in the 1980s that result in jail time for black and brown people. What? Why? So they're saying that we are now, again, want to be engaged in systemic racism. This is why we're falling apart at the seams here. We're jumping to an outcome as opposed to looking at the why and dealing with this issue and adhering to law and order and then going to figure out what other things we bring to the table to try and beat back the scourge of fentanyl. And we've got this whole thing upside down. In the end, it's kind of funny, Boudreaux, because you don't have to really be that creative, right? It's there staring us in the face every morning.
Race wagging the dog. It's the scourge of our society.
Absolutely.
Those are issues to be dealt with. But to have that be your lead card coming out, it's stupidity at its finest.
Well, it's a trump card, no pun intended, that's used all the time. You know, by folks, and it is a deflection. It's a denial, and it's evading the real principal question of what the issues are in this country. And then they attack you for being racist. I mean, it's the same flow chart every time we engage in these conversations, and I'm getting tired of it. And it's why on Tuesdays I highlight what's going on with NOLA Coalition, because I will tell you, Boudreaux, that there are a lot of very successful mentoring programs going on in the city. Unfortunately, a lot is not enough. And a lot is light years away from enough. And we're not hitting enough kids that, unfortunately, we have the breakdown in the familial unit. They're not parenting their kids, and society at large is suffering the consequences. We can sit back and complain about it, or we can go do something. And I think you're a doer like I am. You know, and the more that we talk about it, the more that we can do, and the more that we can support these programs that are working. Go ahead.
No, to say that, you know, we have such a problem, but we do have workshops. Yes, it takes a lot, because the problem is big as a mountain. When you have 13% of the population doing over 50% of the violent crimes, that's a mountain of a problem that requires a mountain of a response. Not a workshop here or there, and I'm just using my idea, workshop.
Right.
Hopefully there's many others. But it requires tremendous effort in that regard to reverse that 13% that's causing over 50% of the violent crimes.
And we can't talk around it. We got to talk through it and just be open, honest, and transparent, and not hateful. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
And when it comes to disproportionate sentencing, that's why I have advocated, especially in the area of drug laws, if X, then Y. No deviation. Remove discretion. And then we remove that argument. Scoot's up next with Free for All Friday. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, I thought when you were talking about disproportionate sentencing, I thought you were talking about those people who have to listen to my show for the next 3 hours.
That works both ways. Your show, my show. We always have people with an opposing point of view.
Well, you know, it's so amazing. I mean, I know you get the same kind of text I do. And you know, you and I have different opinions when it comes to some things. But that's the great thing about working here at WWL. You know, it's not a flatline station where, you know, everybody has the same prevailing opinion. That, you know, when you turn on WWL and you listen throughout the day, you get variety and you can either love somebody or hate somebody.
And it's okay to have a different opinion. My wife reminds me of that every day.
Well, I'm sure she can remind me of
it. It's okay, sweetheart. You can have a different opinion than me. Doesn't mean that's the direction we're going in, but you can have your...
That's right. All right, so we'll talk about Memorial Day. Got some fun bumper music planned for today between Memorial Day and going to the beach. And a lot of people took off yesterday. You can just look at the streets today and parking lots today and tell that a lot of people started taking off early. So we'll get a few things out of the way that might be slightly serious early in the show, and then we'll have a good time. I heard you talking about the Greek Fest, and that's, of course, a big thing going on. And, you know, Ouzo is some really powerful stuff.
One and done, my friend.
Greek, of course. You know, if you asked for, like, your last meal and it was drink a fifth of Ouzo, you would wake up the next morning, like, on your, you know, death row day, and you'd be going, like, please kill me. I want to die. Kill me. Hit the switch. Give me the juice. I'm ready to go.
Been there, done that.
Have a great weekend, Noel.
You too, my friend. And happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. Have a safe weekend. Don't drink and drive. We'll be Scoots up next. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.